With a well-established history of racing here on the Isle of Man for decades, it's very much a time to look ahead to the future for Andreas Racing Association. Along with offering exciting racing for spectators on the track at Jerby, the association continues to hold a proud reputation as a club-level organisation, providing a platform for the latest generations of up-and-coming riders to follow their dreams at the likes of the Isle of Man TT races, Manx Grand Prix, Southern 100 and beyond. Their 2024 roster got underway on the Easter weekend, and a packed schedule of events is set to follow in the coming weeks and months. We recently spoke with the association's chair, Linda Alton-Heath, and club secretary, Neil Champion, to find out what's been happening heading into the latest campaign and what they're looking forward to for the rest of the calendar year.
There's no downtime in racing for us. We finish the season in October with our endurance, and people think that we go put our feet up, but in the off-season, we've had our AGM, we had our annual dinner in January, which was great. And more importantly, we managed to have a new race office brought to Jerby, which went down really well. The guys were very impressed with it, and they are very proud of what we've got there now.
Just to chime in after that, not just the new race office, which actually is a huge step up from where we were, but we did a lot of refurbishment on our facilities generally there. And I was really amazed that they're just volunteers for the club running in February and March and picking up paintbrushes and doing bits of stuff to make it work. Because the club is entirely self-supporting and just a volunteers members club. So I really want to stress that.
Like you both say, they're away from the racing. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes. So to see things coming together over the last few months as well, like you say, there's new additions coming in. How exciting a time do you think it is over at Andreas Racing for the coming year?
The schedule's pretty full for this year. So obviously we've got all our dates are on our website, but our next meeting is 21st of April. We had a committee meeting and it was, gosh, we need to open entries straight away. So we set ourselves a pretty good calendar for the year, and it gives the guys a good opportunity to get signatures for the road events that they're trying to get into, and also for our license upgrades as well. So we've got a two-day in April, in May, in June, July, and then we skip August because of Manx Grand Prix, and now we've got September and October for our endurance. So yeah, pretty much every month we've got either a race meeting or a couple of test days going on as well. So yeah, full on. It's not a case of kind of rock up on it a Saturday and open the gates and we go racing. There's a lot of work behind the scenes to get our racing on track. We're an AC affiliated club, so a lot of requirements placed around us with regards to safety. Our track specification, our officials all need to be licensed and accredited and have ongoing CPD on them as well. So yeah, lots going on. Busy year for us, which is great for the guys who want to go racing, and great for the spectators as well.
Yeah, and just to I was saying, when you asked thinking about this this coming year, I was really knocked out about the quality at the top level of the racing. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty hard fought set of championships, and there's definitely a number of people who are really pushing the envelope already this season.
And just very quickly, for a bit of context, I guess for those who may be listening to a conversation like this for the first time, obviously you've got plenty of people who know exactly what Andreas Racing Association is all about, but could you just give us a bit of a flavour, I suppose, of the sort of events that you would typically run throughout a season?
So we're club level racing, so we're entry level motorcycle racing where people can start out and learn their craft. We're the only dedicated circuit on the Isle of Man, which is at Jerby, and that's where people can get their first competition racing license and then start to learn their craft and go racing. And so we've got literally 14 and 15 year olds out there wearing their orange novice jacket, learning what to do. And then we've got people who are now TT riders who are based on the island, but they started out with their novice jacket with us, and now they're riding in the TT and nationally, of course, in the UK and internationally as well. So we cover quite a breadth of capability. But as I say, it's club level grassroots sport.
Like you point out, you know, being an established club level association as well, it could be a huge stepping stone for anyone getting into motorsport, whether it's road racing or maybe moving on to the short circuits and the like as well. So how proud are you as an organisation that you continue to provide that big important set of first steps for riders and officials maybe in terms of building their careers and, I suppose, experience around motorsport?
Yeah, the Andreas Race School, as Neil has mentioned, it's the only ACU-affiliated race school on the island, and at the Isle of Man, it's a couple of road racing, and we're very proud to have that facility available to people who want to come racing. The race school is run by Gary Radcliffe, who's well-known in the racing world. He's been there and done it. We've got Dave Bosendorfer and also Johnny Heggie, who's got YouTube fame, I think, at the moment as well. So our instructors are people who know what they're talking about. So when we've got some kids, some older people, older guys coming back racing as well, and a couple of girls came through as well the past few race schools, they come through our race school and they get that grounding, they get the basics from, they have to do a classroom assessment and they do the track assessment as well. And Gary's very tough, like you've got to pass that or you're not getting your sheet from him to go racing. That race school has brought through people like Marcus Simpson, who went, and Joe Yeardsley did really well in the Manx Grand Prix, like both in the Tommy Club, first and second in the senior. We've got Sean Crone, Aaron Redmond, like 14 and 15 year olds out racing with us as well. Billy Neen now also. We had a couple of guys out for the first time this weekend. I think Brandon came racing with us for the first time. It can be a baptism of fire, but there's a lot of support there from the race school and from our riders reps as well. He support the younger riders coming through. Tony Redmond's our junior riders rep. So any of the youngsters coming through, Tony will kind of take them under his wing. And little things like remember to put your bib on and don't forget a red flag means you don't go past it. Just little things that they've come through race school and it's just that little reminder to them of what's needed on the day. But yeah, I'm very, very proud of our race school and what the guys are achieving.
Yeah, and we're also proud of our history as well. So the club ran its first race, I think, in 1970. So we celebrate 50 years in 2020. And the list of club champions is really a roll call of names that, really well-known names in solos and sidecars over that 50 years.
Again, coming back to the idea of being a platform for riders across the respective disciplines as well, motorsport, just like a lot of other sports, it is very competitive and can be very tough at times to progress up the ranks as well. So how important is it that the Isle of Man has its own base, effectively, to allow these riders to start getting their signatures and work their way up the ladder in the long term?
Well, it is essential, because if there wasn't anywhere local to... Then people would have to be travelling on the boat across to circuits of the UK, and it's expensive enough anyway. And the ability just to start out locally and try it and see if you like it and if you're any good, makes such a huge difference. And if that capability wasn't there, if there wasn't somebody somewhere local to dip your toe in the waters, then we wouldn't have, Manx Grand Prix winners and TT winners like we do have.
And just looking forward, I guess, not to now and maybe looking a bit further forward as well, as an association, what's been the key to continuing to evolve over the years? Like anything, you will naturally have to adapt to challenges and changes in how the motorsport landscape goes. So what's the key for you as an organisation to evolving and adapting to what's going to come over the coming months and years?
I think for us at the moment, risk has got to be one of the key words. Everybody's world is changing with regard to risk and accountability. I think historically, I remember 30 years ago going up to Derby and we'd have a work party to set the track out. Now we have a risk assessment in the kind of January time to ensure that our track's safe, track licenses, and the accountability side of it is massive. And that's outside of the boys on the track racing. I think Neil and I have spent a number of years trying to bring Andreas into the understanding that those requirements are there and we can't kind of bury our heads in the sand on it. Anybody involved in motorsport, we have to have our ACU clerks of the course who are fully licensed and have CPT, our timekeepers licensed. And Neil's currently going through the process of becoming a clerk of the course as well. I act as event manager, which means I oversee everything from an Andreas perspective rather than an ACU perspective. So I'm looking at safety of spectators, safety in the paddock. A lot of regulation around us at the moment.
And just on top of that, really, we've seen, particularly in conversations we've had with the likes of those involved in the TT and the Manx Grand Prix over the last couple of years, with cost of living going up in all aspects of our lives as well, and seeing some of the challenges, not just for finances for road racing here on the island, but particularly in the likes of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland as well in the last 18 months to 2 years. From the financial perspective, how is Andreas finding the challenges of this current cost of living situation?
We're coping. As I stressed earlier in the conversation, we're absolutely grassroots. So we're not a money-making organisation. We just have to, make sure we break even and cover our costs. And so we will make a huge effort to keep things like entry fees and that sort of thing down to the absolute minimum. Obviously, we're always worried about whether people can afford it, but we had a really, really healthy entry last weekend. So it's looking like, our that way of doing things is still working for most of the people that want to ride with us.
Just a couple more questions here. So we're looking into the next couple of months, as it were. I know, and I think, Linda, you touched on this already a little bit, but could you just give us a summary of the events that you've got coming up and some of the names maybe that might be taking part?
Yeah, so 21st of April is our next Centre Championship round. That's the Gary Carswell meeting. We have an ACU test day on the Saturday before. And obviously, depending on commitments elsewhere with some of the boys that are riding in championships and events in the UK. But like this week, it'll be a mirror again, I would say. So Rory Parker, we had Jamie Kringle out this week. Ryan was away. So I'm hoping Ryan's back with us on the 21st of April meeting. I've got Marcus Simpson. Joe was away racing Yeardsley, so hoping he'll be back. When your sidecar entry includes the Crows, who were tipped this year to be on the top step, I'm hoping at the TT. It's a very healthy entry for us, but that goes all the way down to that's our main centre championship races. We've got an amazing class in the CB500s, so we can have maybe 10 CBs out there racing, and they're in their own little championship as well. And we're very lucky to have sponsors as well this year for our main championship. So we have the Swage Lock Centre Championship and the Northern Fuel Sidecar Championship. So really trying hard to kind of push and get the boys a little bit of exposure there as well.
And also, Linda's absolutely right that, you know, we had good racing in pretty much every class. Palace Hotel and Casino also sponsoring our Super Sport Championship, which was had a really good grid and really fast guys in that as well. And we've got our, we've run this for decades, a Novice and Clubman Championship, which is where those people are working their way up their ACU license, as I said earlier, and learning their skills. But the pace at the front of that is pretty hot as well. So you can see the stars of tomorrow learning their craft right in front of you.
I think we had a couple of new lap records, didn't we, Neil?
We did. I don't know the numbers for that, but I am assured that, yeah, which is amazing this early in the season.
Just one final question to both of you. When it comes to the next, this season, as it were, what would you both class as a successful season for Andreas Racing?
Oh, well, for me, it's all about the riders and the paddock. So when I'm in a meeting and I'm walking, if I get the opportunity to walk around the paddock, if I'm seeing people smiling and enjoying their day, then that is the measure of success for me. There's lots of other ways of measuring it, but that's quite a personal take. But I'll let Linda cover some of the other bases.
Yeah, I think Neil's right. Spectators, I'd say we probably had between 500-600 spectators at the event on Sunday, and also like a full paddock of riders with support and everything. So to see the airfield pretty much buzzing is really great. Like we put a lot of hard work in. Our committee are all unpaid volunteers, and it's those little wins. Like Jason, who's my vice chairman, we walk around the paddock and we were checking on parking and all sorts of things. But to see people smiling, taking pictures, and we had some new photographers with us as well who took more pictures around the paddock. And if anybody's following our Facebook page or Instagram, there's amazing pictures on there of the smiles around the paddock, and it just shows the atmosphere. And you don't get that unless there's amazing racing, and that you don't get good racing unless the boys coming racing are happy with the club and want to be there. So we have an event on the 16th of May in conjunction with Simon Skillen from Skillen Naylor, where we have a Journey to a Dream showcase for our riders who have come through our race school and some who've kind of come to the island and are going on to bigger and better things. So it's a bit like a TT launch, but better at Simon Skillen's. And it will have invited riders, which is the Kringles, Aaron Redmond, Sean Crone, Tony Redmond. And we've got Joe Yeardsley, Marcus Simpson, Mark Colvin, all the boys who pretty much do the roads and are really showcasing Andreas Racing and the Isle of Man. So we're doing an event for them, and it's for them and their sponsors to come. It's being filmed by Greenlight TV. And it's just provide them a little bit of platform and some media to be able to use in their own promotional material.
Yeah, it's going to be compared by Chris Palmer and Carolyn Sobes, that's right.
Yeah, we've got the guys doing compare on it. We've got DJ, got a nice night planned for the riders, just to give them a night to kind of promote themselves. 16th of May at Skill and Nail and Showroom, but it is by invitation only.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. thank you